Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. Lord, lead us to hear the things you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I was 6 years old, and my brother Doug would have been about four when our dad took us to the circus for the very first time. We lived in New Jersey at the time, and this was supposed to be a family outing, but our mom suddenly fell ill and was unable to attend at the last minute. My mom's instruction to help my dad keep up with Doug rang loudly in my ear, and I'm sure that I held on to his hand way tighter than he preferred as we tried to keep up with our dad weaving through the crowds outside of the grounds of the Barnum and Bailey Circus in New York City. As we made our way to the entrance, we heard the sounds of vendors calling out to sell their wares, mingled with music from the circus band. The performers were lined up waiting for the parade as we passed. The clowns waved, as did the men on stilts. We were nearly to the entrance when we passed the beautiful ladies of the high wire, their velvet capes with heavy gold fringe, and the sparkles of their sequins costumes captured my attention. I stopped in my tracks to admire them, forgetting all about my sisterly duties. I was lost in another world of glamour and glitz like I had never seen before. I heard my dad call my name, and suddenly I panicked that I'd lost Doug. But I was relieved to see them both, waiting for me to hurry up and join them. Not long after settling into our seats, the lights lowered, the music picked up, and the ringmaster welcomed us to the greatest show on earth. The circus parade began with everything from elephants to dancing dogs dressed in the fanciest costumes I'd ever seen. The circus soon began. All three rings were filled with activity. Now, this is the most stressful part of the circus for me. How can I keep up with everything happening in all three rings at once? But soon the nets were erected, and the performers climbed to the top of their platforms, taking their places and waving at the audience before they soared high above our heads. I shuddered as I imagined climbing up all those rungs to the top. I was completely mesmerized as the acrobats performed their acts, swinging broadly from one end of the building to the other, somersaults in the air astounding us all with their gravity-defying releases and catches. It was exhilarating, but so much to take in that I was relieved when they dropped from the high platforms to the nets below, bouncing off the nets to the ground, waving and bowing to the audience's applause. Watching them take flight above the crowd was awe-inspiring, especially for a girl who dreamed of flying from an early age. I was obsessed with trying to fly. I spent a good deal of time trying to collect information on various methods to get airborne. While my collection of information was a good idea, the sources of my information were greatly flawed. I distinctly remember two flight attempts, once by jumping from the porch railing with an umbrella, which served absolutely no purpose helping me float to the clouds. Thank you very much, Mary Poppins. The only purpose the umbrella may have served was helping me break my fall as I plummeted to the large bush. The second time, I was sure that I had come up with the right plan. This time, I followed Superman's example and donned a cape. Well, more truthfully, a towel that I tied around my neck. In retrospect, it was not the fabric known for aerodynamic qualities. This time, rather than a vertical launch, I would stick with Superman's full steam ahead method. I shot off the porch with arms outstretched as far in front of me as I could reach. I had every belief that I would be faster than a speeding bullet, but alas, this method did not end well either. As I belly flopped to the ground, I was sure that I was dying. Thankfully, I wasn't, but I did learn what it meant to have the air knocked out of your lungs. That painful experience told me to give up on unassisted flight. That is, until I saw these acrobats at the circus. I followed their example and took to soaring through the air on a swing. Why didn't I think of that? Flying was all in my imagination, but the swing gave me wings to soar through the air with a lot more enjoyment than my previous attempts. I hadn't thought about trying to fly or going to the circus for a first time in a very long time, but in reading Henry Nouwen's book, Flying, Falling, Catching, it stirred up my memories. While my experience with the world of acrobatic arts are strictly observational, in his book, we learn of the developing relationship of Henry Nouwen and the Flying Rodleys, a trapeze circus act. You may be familiar with Henry Nouwen through his writings and titles such as Life of the Beloved, Return of the Prodigal Son, and Reaching Out, just to name a few. But in this lesser-known book, Flying, Falling, and Catching, we learn of a time toward the ends of his life when Henry took a sabbatical in Europe. When he learns that the circus is in town, he invites his father to attend with him. He expects that this will be a nice outing with his elderly father. But as Henry watches the acrobats from the troupe the Flying Rodleys perform, he surprises himself by being moved to tears. After leaving the circus, his mind was consumed with the performance. He played it over and over in his mind throughout the evening. The next day, as he was still processing why this group of acrobats had such an impact on him, he decided to return to the circus for their matinee performance. He even managed to meet the Flying Rodleys during intermission. And as unlikely as it may seem, over the next weeks, months, and years, Henry developed a warm relationship with the troupe, attending countless performances, interviewing each member multiple times, eating meals with them, and eventually caravanning with them across Europe with the troupe for first a week, then a month one summer, and continuing to meet with them over the years as he could. Rod was the leader. His wife, Jenny, his sister, Carlene, Johan, and John were all members of the Flying Rodleys. They are trapeze artists from Africa, except for John, who was American. Henry came to love them as dear friends, and they loved him and ultimately considered each other family. His interest in the acrobat act stirred the writer in him. As he began to study and record every detail of the process of the troupe, he wanted to understand everything. What did conditioning look like for the performers? How did they determine the choreography for the acts? How long did it take them to learn a new trick? What did the ground crew do to remember each setup? Who constructs the platforms, ladders, ropes, and how did they secure the nets in every town the circus visited? He interviewed every member of the Flying Rodleys several times, made copious notes as they answered his questions. He met with the ground crew as well. But Henry had a problem. Though he continued to collect information over the years, he could not see how his work would translate into a book. Though he attempted several different directions, he would lose interest in the story that he was writing and return to just taking notes and making observations. I'm glad he did, because his observations of how careful teamwork was essential to the success of the troupe provides an interesting contrast to the story in our gospel reading today. Henry noted that three movements allowed these folks to progress from individuals to an intimate group that functioned as one body. First, he noted that the personal journey of each member was essential to the group. Their daily habits, such as strength training and maintaining personal fitness, made them ready and able not only to do what the job required of them, but to make quick adjustments when a person missed their cue or didn't land as they had practiced. Their continual desire to see their performance improve required consistent practice of their skills. As Rod, the leader of the troupe, explained, their commitment to daily training and exercise was a sacrifice they made for the group, allowing them to create beauty for others and prepare them to move into greater trust with one another. Secondly, he noted the troop realized their vocation. They lived together, ate together, looked out for each other because everything in the act depended on their teamwork and their care for each other. There could be no competition among them, no heroes, no anger or jealousy. They had to practice together even when they messed up or were frustrated with one another. A lifestyle of forgiveness and compassion was essential to their survival. They trusted each other with their lives. The Flying Wadleys could not offer these performances of breathtaking beauty with perfectly timed releases and catches without these shared rhythms of life. Henry noted that the third movement he observed was a movement from entertainment to inspiration. Sure, the people who went to the circus to be entertained, but the trapeze act is not just to distract people. It is to give them a glimpse of the beauty of life. Not only artistic beauty, but a beautiful image of humanity in harmony, where it is possible for people to feel safe with one another. Through the performance of the Flying Wadleys, their audience was able to experience the hope found in healthy community and to give us a glimmer into God's visions for living out our lives poured out for each other. Our gospel reading today starkly contrasts with, in many ways, with the story of Henry's circus performers. Luke tells us that someone in the crowd speaks up and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus asks the man, "Who made me arbitrator over you?" He continues and he directs the conversation to the crowd. "Be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops.' He said to himself, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store all my grain and goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for you for many years. Relax, eat, and drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your life, your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds?" Two very different stories, different periods of time, different occupations. But the most provocative difference is where the people in these stories placed their trust. The acrobat troupe's success hinges on trust. Trust in their training, trust in their partners, and the safety net below. Henry recognized the profound spiritual metaphor of flying, falling, and catching. The rich fool, on the other hand, puts his trust solely in his ability to provide for himself, not only for today's needs, but he focuses his attention on his ability to develop a strategy to store up for himself everything he might ever need for the rest of his days. Henry shares how his time with the Flying Wadleys transformed his life by leading him into a deeper understanding of community and the interconnectedness of life. The acrobats, through their performance, give us a glimpse into the kingdom as we learn to live in the humility that we need each other. They allow us to see the beauty of the healthy relationships as God intends us to live, inspiring those outside the community with a vision of humanity in the harmony of the Trinity. The rich fool focuses only on himself. He misses the opportunity to use his abundance to benefit others, remaining spiritually impoverished despite his material wealth. This contrast emphasizes the importance of generosity in contributing to the shared life in Christ rather than living in isolation. Henry describes feeling a call to tell the story of the Flying Rodleys and the relationship that evolved between them. However, despite his many diaries filled with notes and observations, he was never able to write the book before he died. But knowing how passionate Henry was about the story, his good friend and co-worker, Carolyn Whitney Brown, undertook the completion of Flying, Falling, and Catching. She wove together his diaries and information she collected from his notebook to publish the book that he wanted the world to hear. For me, that even makes the book more of a treasure, as we see the importance that community had become to Henry over his lifetime. Without the deep love of his community, this book would never have become a reality. We may not be flying on a high wire like the Flying Rodleys, but we are still called to lay down our lives for one another. Let us hold fast to that good work, trusting God with our sustenance and provision, rather than anxiously seeking to provide for ourselves in isolation of the rich fool. May it be said of us, as Tertullian wrote of the witness of the early church, see how they love one another. In the name of the Father, and in the Son, and the Holy Spirit.